The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Let's put our hands toward heaven as we approach the Word today. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come today by faith to hear what you have to say. We ask you, oh God, to use this mouthpiece today. Use me as an oracle. Set this oracle on fire. Let me deliver a word, Lord, that's filled with life and hope and convicting power. Let the word go deep in our hearts and let it bring forth a hundredfold fruit. We thank you that your word is an everlasting word. We thank you for this covenant word, and we receive this by faith. We confess that we are doers of the word and not hearers only. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. And amen. Let's give the worship team another good hand clap. Thank you, guys. Great job today. Well, praise the Lord Jesus. We're in 2017. The calendar's changing. Time's moving forward. How many know time's not wasting? And time doesn't wait on anybody. You know, tomorrow's coming whether you're ready for it or not. Right? Tomorrow's coming. I want to tell you today, I'm so on fire about things to do, purposes, things that God's called us to do, things that God has told us to do that we haven't done. That's a word for somebody right there. Things that maybe you know you're supposed to do. Listen, I'm talking to somebody by the Holy Ghost. Things you were supposed to do, but you haven't done. Ministries that maybe you were part of or whatever, a post or an assignment, and you haven't fulfilled that. But I'll tell you, listen, time's away. Come on. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, you're going to get back in it. You're going to do it. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I believe that, don't you? In other words, if God's marked your life, called your life like he did the Israelites as his chosen people, he doesn't give up on those things. If he's whatever he's called you to do, he's called you to do. So I just want to tell you, I'm on fire. Thursday night we studied Genesis chapter 5. We talked about all the genealogy of Adam. You know, Adam lived 930 years. I wouldn't even be middle-aged yet if I was Adam, would I? Huh? Now, some of you guys would, but I wouldn't. Hallelujah. Adam lived 930 years. Adam bore children all through the years. Noah didn't even start having children till he was 500 years old. Methuselah lived 969 years. Huh? Enoch only lived 365 and got so close to God, he walked on out of here. So he was a young guy, wasn't he? But all these people, a lot of these people knew each other, potentially. There was a lot of them that could have crossed generationally known one another. Amen. And so, but the point was, there is such purpose in every generation. And our generation has a purpose. I mean, in this generation, I'm not talking about all the people that are 60 and up. That's not my generation. My generation is everybody I'm standing on the planet with right now during the times and years and seasons that I'm alive. I don't care for these babies that were just born in 2017, to those that were born last year, to those that were born in the 40s or 30s, whenever they were. If I was on the planet with them, they're part of my generation. And Acts 13:36 says that God called David to serve his generation. To serve his generation the will of God, the purposes of God, and the counsel of God. And we are dogged, determined here at Imago Dei. We are going to serve our generation. We are going to work in our generation. I can't work in the generation. I couldn't work in the generation that came before me because I wasn't here yet. But once I got here on the 5th of September, 1953, until the day that I die, until my last day on this planet, I have made up my mind because I've been touched by the fire of God. I've been called by the mighty Holy Ghost. I've been chosen by Almighty God. I have made up my mind that I am going to serve this generation. I'm going to serve them everything I got. I'm going to serve this. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I'm going to serve this generation with the. I'm a baseball guy. I'm going to bring the heat in my generation. Hallelujah. I'm throwing smoke in my generation. I'm not throwing some little, 60 mile an hour, little cheap little change up that drops in there. I came to cook with gas. I came to throw smoke. I came to throw fire. I came to cause revival. I came to turn the world upside down. That's what they said about the people in the book of Acts. They said, "My God, what's going on in our town?" And they said, "Those that turn the world upside down have come here now." I'm telling you today, somebody that's going to turn the world upside down has come to town. Well, glory. I'll tell you, if you didn't know it yet, you're about to find out about it. Because I came to turn the world upside down. And I came to get you on fire. I came to get you out of the doldrums. I came to get that slumber off of you. I came to get that apathy off of you. I came to help you find what you're supposed to do in this world. Why am I here? Why did God make me? What am I supposed to do? And I'm telling you, by the power of God, we're going to find it out, and it's going to happen. I've been stirred. I've been in revival in my past, but I've never in my life been in a personal revival like I'm in today. And I'm talking about right now at 11:42. Amen. Today in 2017. I'm telling you today, there is a calling. There is a calling going out. And it's going to touch your heart. Now, I got a word for us today. I want you to turn to the book of Daniel this morning. To the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. I want some good Holy Ghost, devil-hating, sin-fighting, blood-bought amens this morning. My pastor, Dr. Barclay, says the only thing worse than a boring preacher is a boring congregation. I believe that's true, don't you? This is what I want to tell you today. One of America's great poets is a man named Robert Frost. And Robert Frost, in 1916, wrote a poem called "The Road Less Traveled." I want to tell you today that it takes courage to take the road less traveled. I want to tell you today that God is calling you. He's calling me to take the road less traveled. I don't want to go where most have gone because I don't like what most are doing. I want to take the road less traveled. Robert Frost wrote, "Two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled, and that made all the difference." I want to tell you today that God, I want to go through the scripture and the word today. Just, I know I don't have long, and it's hard to, we can't expound on all of this, but I want to tell you that every person that God uses will take a road less traveled. That means you're going to travel on a road that's not there's not a beaten path there. You're going to have to be, you know, one of my words that God gave me years ago in my ministry was that Christ was the, Hebrews 2 says that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. That word captain there means, in the literal Greek, it means a pioneer. You know the pioneers? The Daniel Boones, the Lewis and Clarks, the explorers, those pioneers, the Magellans of the world that went ahead of all the rest. And they walked a road that was so less traveled. In most cases, it had never been traveled. Nobody's ever gone that way. Nobody's ever dared to get off what everybody else is doing. And nobody's ever dared to walk that way. But the Daniel Boones and Magellans, what is it about the spirit of some of those people? I believe it's a kind of a calling. Somebody's got to go first. And somebody's got to get on a road that someone, listen to this word, that has never been on before. I want to tell you to be the kind of man or woman of God that I'm preaching about this morning and that I'm going to be on for a while here. I'm telling you, you got to be of a different spirit. Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. They had another spirit on the inside of them. They had the courage to get off the beaten path. Where most walked. Most people, I want to tell you today, the majority, they didn't get up this morning and say, "Oh God, I want to obey you. What do you want me to do?" Most people got up to live some mundane life, to be with a bunch of mundane people that have mediocre goals, that aren't going anywhere, that aren't looking for the highest challenge, that aren't looking for a church that'll say, "Pastor, raise the bar higher, raise it up high. I want to jump." Most people are looking for a church that brings the bar right down here. So all you got to do is just breathe and you step over it. I'll tell you, I'm looking for people in my life that are taking the road less traveled, that'll get off the beaten path and have the spirit of one of these explorers and trailblazers. Let me finish with my word captain. The word captain in the Greek is archegos, and it means a pioneer or a trailblazer. One that goes ahead of all the rest, listen to me, and clears the path. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to go first. Somebody's got to have some courage. Somebody can't be normal. Somebody can't do what everybody else is doing. But somebody's got to take a chance. I want to be like Robert Frost when I went to the woods of my life and I saw two roads diverge there. My prayer before I got here this morning is, oh God, awaken all of us to the two roads that lie before us. The road that leads maybe to hell, but certainly at least that first one might lead to mediocrity. And help me understand there is a road that will take me down that road. It'll cost me less than the other road will cost. I won't have to pay the price that is paid on the second road. But then again, I won't have the life that awaits those that'll take the road less traveled. Daniel 11:32. This is for you today. I'm talking to you. If you're in this building, I am talking to you. Verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. Okay, so that's the bad. That's bad. He's talking about what God's going to do to those that are corrupt. But I love that next word. There's a but there. You know, I know that, Lord, that there's a bunch of people that are doing wickedly against your covenant in 2017. Look at me. I know there's a lot of people that are taking the first road. I know maybe most people are taking the first road. They're taking the easy way out. They're taking what they think is the shortcut. They're living the easy life. I know maybe most of them are doing that. They're living for themselves. They're living in their own sensuality. They're living in their own pleasure. I know that. And they're not pleasing you. They're working against your covenant. And I know that's a kind of a strong statement. And it would sound like he's only talking to the heathen. But just in my context today, would you allow me to say, I'm talking to everybody I want to put everybody in that. Let's just make the distinction between the two roads. So there's two kinds of people. The first kind aren't doing what God wants them to do. How do you do that? You got to take the second road. You got to sell out. You got to give everything. There's only two roads. I mean, on this second road, brother, what's it going to cost you? Nothing except your life. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But there's another part of this. But you got to pick up your cross, and you got to carry it every day. So number one is for, let's just put the wicked, the rebellious, the backslider. Listen to me today. But I'm putting in there the apathetic that know they're called, know they're supposed to serve God and have things to do, but they're refusing to do it. Because the other road, some of you have started on the second road. Alabashatala mahati amahasta. Some of us have started down the second road and realized, well, this is difficult. This is hard. And you came back off that road and you went down the first road of mediocrity. But so number one, there are people that are maybe most are rebellious against God. I don't know what percentage of people are in a real Holy Spirit, Bible-toting church this morning in Cincinnati. But I'm going to flip this thing on its ear. Instead of there being a few of us and a bunch of them, we're going to flip this around. And there's going to be a bunch, the many, the multitudes are going to be in here. And those that don't obey God are going to be in the minority. Now, how can you talk like that, Pastor? Because of what I'm talking about right here. That makes me talk like this. Because we're getting off the road less traveled, and we're going to do something different. Okay? So number one is not good. That's the first road. But, right in the middle of mediocrity, right in the middle of all the apathy, right in the middle of sensuality and church is lowering the bar and all the standards, right in the middle of people that once were on fire, they're giving up, they're losing their fire and their zeal. But the people of God, there's bad stuff, but the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Listen, in the midst of mediocrity, in the midst of apathy, in the midst of a backslidden nation, there are people who know their God. And there are people that will do what the Bible calls, they will do exploits. An exploit is a notable deed. I really believe this. I believe that every believer that's in this room today, you are called to an exploit. You are called to do notable deeds. Somebody said, yeah, but I'm in my 80s. I may be running out of time. No, you're not. Bless God, if you're still breathing, there's time for you to take the second road and do some exploits. An exploit really means a striking or a notable deed or a feat. or even an exploit is a heroic act. I'm telling you, in the midst of everything else that's going wrong, there are a people that know God, and they are very strong, and they are doing notable deeds, great feats, and they are operating in heroic acts. I want to tell you, what you just say, Pastor? I said God called you to be a hero. Whew. God called me to be a what? I said God called you to be a hero. God called you to be somebody that is strong and does mighty deeds. God called you to turn your world upside down. God called you to change the map. God called you to get on a road that nobody's walked on before. I don't care what's going on around us. In the midst of all of it, there is a strong people of God that are called by God to do exploits. You know, and I hear all the excuses. Well, I don't know how. I've never done that. I just, listen, I don't have time to get into all these, but I just wrote a few things down. You know, when God called Noah, you know, the world was so corrupt. You know, the Bible says the wickedness, God saw, God saw the wickedness in the world. I want to tell you, we got a bad culture going on out here. We got bad stuff happening, and there's craziness. But I'll tell you, this thing right here didn't hold a candle what was going on in Noah's day. So God hasn't fallen off his throne about how bad this generation is or how bad things are. You know, God still worked in the midst of that corruption that Noah was born into. Now think about it. In all, in all that corruption, the whole world was corrupt and wicked. What generation was Noah? Was he like 6 or 8? 10, that's what I meant. Hallelujah, whatever he was. Noah wasn't very many generations along. 10, thank you, Beth. Well, Evan was paying attention. At least he was paying more attention than I was. In 10 generations, man had completely gone crazy. They started out getting apathetic toward God. They started out leaving their post. They started out leaving prayer time. They started out leaving what God said in the beginning and all those things. And little by little, things corrupted. They're like a, you know, they're like a piece of fruit. You leave it out, up to a certain point, it's ripening. But past the point of ripening, it begins to decay. And it decays a little bit, gets a little brown on it. But after you let it go for quite a while, that thing just goes completely corrupt. That's what happened to all of mankind. Wait a minute. Except one man. I want to tell you about that one man. His name was Noah. And the Bible says out of all that corruption, God found one man. And he says that that one man found grace in the eyes of God. It's like this scripture right here. Things are going crazy. People are rebelling against God's covenant. But God finds and looks for somebody like Noah that'll be strong and know him, that'll do heroic feats. I want to tell you, somebody said, well, I said, why don't you do that? Well, I don't know how. I've never done that. You know, I was thinking about Noah, and I thought, you know, I looked it up this morning even. When God told Noah, you know what God really told him? He said, Noah, the whole earth is corrupt and wicked. You know what? This is what shocks me. You know what he said? I want you to do something about it. Who, me? I've never done anything like that. Well, what would you want me to do? God told him, I want you to build an ark. The word ark in the Hebrew means, I want you to build me a box. Well, he didn't, I mean, If I told you build me a box, I mean, there's all kinds of boxes. There's metal boxes, big boxes, little boxes. There's little box that can be like a safe. There's all kinds of boxes. But he said, I want you to do something for me you may not totally understand right now. Because when he told him, the first thing he told him, he said, I want you to build me an ark. Noah didn't have the whole picture and understand everything about that. Build me a box. And you know, it says that he told him early in the, when he was telling him about the ark, he said, the reason I want to do this is because I'm going to destroy the earth. And I want everybody, I want those that will be like part number two that will take the second road, I want them to get on that ark. And he said, I want you to do something. This is just for the theologian. I want you to cover it with pitch. Pitch. That's the King James word, with pitch. It's tar. It's like slimy stuff. It's like a protective outer coat. Make it, it's petroleum-based stuff. And make it, pitch it with, he said, he told him how to build it. And then told him, put the pitch on the inside and put the pitch on the outside. It's a petroleum-based thing that was like water that would push the water off. But that word in the Hebrew there is the same word that's used for the word atonement. I want you, you know what he said? I want you to put the pitch on the, I want you to build the box. Now, if the Lord came and said, Pastor, here's your calling. Build me a box. I mean, that's my job, build a box. Yeah, but this isn't just any box. I want you to build me a box. And I want you to take that box and I want you to put pitch on the inside and the outside. That's what atonement means, is to cover over. That which is underneath the covering is protected. He said, I got to build a box. Here's why he's building the box. This is why it pays to take the road less traveled. Because the only people that got saved in that flood were people that lived in the box. Because the only people that got saved were in the thing, the only thing that could save them, and it was covered like an atonement. They were protected from the judgment. Listen to me today. When God tells you to do something, I don't want to hear any longer, I don't know how. I've never done it. I don't know anybody that has done it. You know, God spoke to me. I told Sarah yesterday, and I felt the anointing go off me when I told her. She said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, here was what I told her. I just said, Noah never built a boat or a box either. I don't know how. I've never done it. Noah never built a boat. Nobody ever built a boat. There was never this kind of situation before. And so in order to do it, you're going to have the courage to rise up and say, bless God, whether anybody's ever done it, whether I don't know how to do it, whether I've got the money to do it. God never told him anything about it. He just told him, I'm calling you to do this. And think about the magnitude of this cat. This guy was the only guy that believed like this. And God spoke to him, and miraculously, he got off the first road, out of the road of all the people that were leading to corruption, and he got on the second road that was the road less traveled. And you know what he did? Can you imagine the mental warfare, Pastor Terry, that he went through when God was saying, I need you to build this box, and it's going to save the world. Can you imagine? Well, why me? Who am I? All the things we go through when you think about the callings of God and the purposes of God for our life. I've never done that. Why me? There's others more qualified. Listen, it's not the the qualified most of the time won't take the road less traveled. Most of the time it'll be God's people are always people that are the most unexpected people. Samuel went to looking for the king, and all the people that would take the first road were brought first. And he said, none of these. Is this all you got? He said, I got one boy up back in the sheepfold, but I'll tell you what, he's a shepherd. He really knows you, and he's strong, and he might be the guy to do heroic acts.
Glory.
Noah never built an ark either. Who knows what God's going to call us to do? Moses never stood before a bush that burned and got a calling like that. As far as I can tell, I never read anybody since then that stood there and a burning bush caught on fire and called a man of God out of a burning bush. And Moses stood there, and Moses, you know, the story of Moses. Moses was in an ark, and he got drawn out, raised in Pharaoh's court. He murders an Israeli. He gets banned. Moses had been in banishment for 40 years. And all of a sudden, he's standing there, and a bush catches on fire. I'm praying today. I prayed this morning. Lord, let point number two, let Noah be good, but let point number two rock everybody's world. I prayed that a bush in your life would catch fire. I'm convinced this morning that what's wrong with us today in the church is that we have stopped believing that bushes catch on fire and call people like us. Moses was a fugitive, but out of the burning bush, the voice spoke and called on him and told him, take your shoes off, bro, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. I'm praying, you know what? I'm telling you, if you let your bush burn again, I'm tired of trying to get people to come to church. I can't do it. If you could get people to come to church by calling them, sending cards, notes, emails, texts, voicemails. I send voicemails with different sounding voices just so they don't get bored with me. What's the matter with you? Where are you? Come back to the house of God. We've been missing you. We love you, man. I know, well, we're busy. Listen, do I look like the kind of guy that gives up on, well, we're busy? We're all busy. We don't have time to be here this morning. There's things to do. There's people to see. There's a generation to reach. And I am so tired of trying to physically manage. Be trying to get people that are supposed to be leaders in my church off their blessed assurance and to remind them that a bush burned and called you. And you told me you were assigned to the ministry here. That's one category between me. So I'm reaching, those people. Then the people that come that I've sent other kinds of voicemails, emails, text messages, pigeon carriers. I've done everything. It's God's will for you to be involved in the house of God. We need you. We have, Donna created the gift test. We test you. We're trying to make you feel great about yourself, and we'll give you a gift test. And this is your gift. This is what you do well. So this is probably a good thing for you to serve. I've sent all kinds of emails. I've copied their test and sent it to them. I've encouraged them and say, you're one of a kind. You know what I've learned? I've learned all that kind of human effort. It doesn't make people. We have prayer on Monday nights. I might as well just get all the way in here if I'm taking the road less traveled. We have Monday night prayer. We have Thursday midweek church. And it's shocking that I've been pastoring this ministry. I planted Imago Dei in 2007. We've been doing that every Monday night and every Thursday night almost since 2007. And it's shocking how many people still don't remember that. Every Thursday night, you can take, if you have a smartphone, your calendar, put on there, Pastor Jim will be preaching. He'll be at church. All right. Which Thursday nights? Every Thursday night. Yeah, but you're the pastor. Well, listen, even though I am the pastor, I don't feel like coming every Thursday night. You know what? To all of us preachers, you know the easiest thing I do is this right here. I didn't say it was the best thing I do. It's the easiest thing I did. This is fun. I think Jesus lets me do this so I'll do all the other stuff during the week to get here. Dealing with all the dead people, the apathetic people, the leaders that have lost their zeal and fire. And he just encourages me as I just get, you know, help myself here. But here's what I've learned. You can't make people do anything. I was going to say, we did a thing about prayer, intercessory prayer. I just believe the church ought to pray together. I think it's a Bible thing. And we asked people, we gave it to you. We made paperwork and gave it to everybody in the church when you came in. Fill this out. So Monday night at 6 is a bad time for you. When would be a good time for you to pray? You know what we had with that? We had such apathy turning the papers in. Not only did we not find out when people could come, people didn't even turn the papers in. So are you aggravated today? Look, man, I'm off. I'm turned on. Because I'm not letting that stop me. Because I know God. And I'm strong. And I came to do heroic acts. And I'm convinced it's going to take a burning bush experience. I'm praying. I don't care if your lazy boy chair catches on fire. Blame it on me. Huh? I don't care if the dining room table, suddenly you're sitting there, you're trying to watch something on TV, and the dining room table goes up in flames. Don't say, I wonder what's going on, saying, pastor's praying this on me. Now here's a good part that'll encourage you. Remember that about the bush? The bush wasn't destroyed. Your lazy boy chair will still be lazy once I get done with it. But here's my point. We need a fire again. We need a fire to understand this isn't some my idea that I'm called to do something for God. A bush burned. It called my name out of the bush. It called me to give my life to Jesus Christ, no matter what. And I believe if our generation, those that are alive on this planet now that know God, if we need anything, we need a bush to catch on fire again. Because listen, man, in the times that I don't feel like doing this and you get weary and you battle through apathy and all that kind of stuff, man, I remember there was a bush that caught on fire that day and called me. And everybody in my family's got a bush. Sarah's got her own bush. My baby's got a bush. My grandbaby's got a bush. I don't know how. I've never done that. Noah never built a boat. Moses never delivered a nation. Joshua, I love Joshua chapter 1. It says, the Lord told Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. So be strong and of good courage, my translation. And guess what? You're going to be the leader of Israel. Joshua was like, Lord, I've never led a nation. That was Moses' job. You know, some of you need to get off your blessed assurance and quit saying that's so-and-so's job. Sometimes that Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, he's not here to do it anymore. And if it needs to be done, you know what? The Lord said, you're next in line, Joshua. You know, Joshua had never led a people. I love God, though. You know, Joshua was, he was like, I don't know how to do this, and I won't be as good as Moses. You know, Moses tried to get out of it. He couldn't get out of it. Joshua tried to get out of it, but he couldn't get out of it. He said, I'm not as good as Moses. So God said, well, I'm going to help you with that. You know what he did? This is cool. It says, and God magnified Joshua in the eyes of the people. You know what a magnifying glass does? It makes things look bigger than they really are. You may not be ready to do it, but God will put a magnifying glass over you, and people will look at you and say, my God, he does know what he's doing. Noah never built a boat. Moses never heard from a burning bush or delivered a nation. Joshua never led people across into the promised land. David had never slain a giant. He killed a lion and a bear. And I know, you know, we preach on, well, David rehearsed and he's killed the lion and the bear. That's really good. But it's a long, long way, brother and sister, from a lion and a bear to an 11-foot tall giant that's got shields and coverings all over him, and the entire Philistine army is standing in there as well. David had never slain a giant, but David took the road less traveled. And when David got to the battle, you know what the Bible says about his brothers? They took the first road all the time. It says his brothers met him as they were fleeing away. You know why you got to go today? You know why I've got to do this? Why you got to do this today? Because I don't trust that most people are going to do it. Most people are running from the fight. This week, my Louisville Cardinals were in the College World Series baseball thing. And their coach, Dan McDonald, is a real motivational guy. And he had the entire team read a book called Run to the Roar. Have you read that book? Yeah, that's a different one, though. This is a different one. Chasing a Lion. But it's the same principle. And he had them read the book called Run to the Roar. And it's about, this guy did a study on the lions and how the lions eat, how they feed. The lions, you know, the male, this is all the sisters will love, Pastor, after this one. You know, the male lions are known to be lazy. They sleep 22 plus hours a day. They are not the hunters. It's the sisters that are the hunters. And so what Dan McConnell was trying to get his team to understand is you got to run. Whatever's roaring at you, you don't run from it. You run right into it. Because the way it works is what the males do is they'll stand in a certain place when the wildebeest and the zebras and, you know, their prey are drinking the water. And that big old male lion, he's lazy, but he's got a big roar. Maybe like your husband, I don't know. And when he roars, the male lion's mane stands up, the hair around his mane, and it's a roar. They say when a lion really roars, it'll bring shock, terror to you. And when those prey of the lions, when they hear that roar, their initial tendency, listen to me, is to run the other way. Run away from what you're afraid of. But little do they know that the male lion and the female lion have a plan of attack. And when the male lion's too lazy to chase you and eat you. He's not the hunter. But all he does is roar. And when he roars, those animals, the prey, turn and they flee the opposite direction. And in the opposite direction, that's where the sisters lie in wait. And when they run, instead of running away from what can kill them, they're running into that which can destroy them. And Dan McConnell told that baseball team, he said, we're never going to run from the roar again. When it gets hard, we're going to run right. You know what you do? You run at that which is roaring at you. Woo! You run at that which is roaring at you. Because when you run into your fear, you're going to run into your destruction. When David's brothers were coming, they were running away from the roar. And what David did is he looked at the roar, faced that giant, and ran directly at that giant. I want to tell you today that God has called you to run to the roar. Noah never built an ark. Moses never responded to a burning bush. He never led a nation out across the Red Sea. Joshua never led a nation. And David never had killed a giant. But you know, I love Mike Murdoch and some of the things he teaches. One of the things he talks about is, you know, your remembrance, your legacy is built on the giants that you bring down. You ask most people out here in the street if they ever heard of David, they'd say, yeah, David slew Goliath. David was the king of Israel, but that's not how he's mainly remembered. He's a giant slayer. I want to be remembered. We're remembered for the exploits we do.
Yes, we are.
And in order to do the exploits, you got to take the road less traveled. Come on, Trenton and team. Let me just tell you about a couple more. How about Rahab the harlot? Rahab the harlot. In an entire city of people that were against the Israelites, there's one person out of everybody in town that says, I want to help these guys. You know what her job was? Sister was a lady of the night. I read that and I thought, God, Lord, a harlot?
Come on, Pastor.
Believed that scripture. And believed, I don't understand these people. But you know what? You know what she knew? She knew that everywhere those Israelites went, that God moved. And God would destroy. And out of all the people in that town, only one woman of the night. That's why I live frustrated. Somebody said, you seem frustrated. I am. You mean today? No, every day. Why? Because God he had to find a harlot that would listen to him. She took him in and she hid the spies. And because she did, it was a great exploit to God, a heroic deed. And when the entire city of Jericho came down, she and her family were the only ones. You go through the Bible and find out all the times that God used one person that said, I can do an exploit. I gotta quit. Listen to me. God wants to give you a bush that burns. He wants to give you a cause that's worth living for. He wants you to get off the road less traveled and get on the road that He's called you to get on. Let's all stand up this morning. Praise His holy name.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.